This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
And a very good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Going to be talking a lot of sports today. We're going to start talking out a little bit of Big Ten football, not with Michigan State or Michigan, but with Minnesota. Minnesota in the Big Ten, they're going to be the first school in the Big Ten that will be selling beer officially at their games. So we'll talk about that. Minnesota's Board of Regents approved it last night, and they will be selling beer in the fall at all their games, beer and wine sales. No alcohol sales, hard alcohol that is, but just beer and wine at the new TCF Stadium ballpark in Minneapolis. So we'll talk about that and some other things in sports, but all you have to do to get on the line, once again, just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. So how do you feel about the Big Ten selling beer now? Some people I know are very much in favor of it. I've heard from a few of them, and some people don't like it so much. So what's your thoughts on beer sales in Big Ten stadiums, and how do you think that'll impact the games and everything else? So you can, at Minnesota at least, and the bigger question is, will that start be the first of a trend to sales in the other Big Ten stadiums? So that's the thing we'll have to look at in the future. Will it just be with Minnesota, or will other schools? Will the Big Ten commissioner, Jim Delaney, approve sales for all the schools in the Big Ten? So I guess we still have questions to be answered, but it could just be Minnesota. But again, it could spread to the other schools, because I know everyone's going to be looking at that, because if they make a lot of money, they don't want Minnesota to be the only school making money off of beer sales. That's for sure. So we'll just take a look at that and see how they handle that this year. And that's Minnesota, selling beer at all of their home games. Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. But more importantly, we want you to spread the word around. Tell everyone you know. You can enjoy sports every afternoon right here on WKAR. And as you know, Penn State's report has been released this morning on Jerry Sandusky, that is, and the university's role about what's been going on there. And it didn't look too favorably for the Penn State Board of Directors, and unfortunately with Joe Paterno as well, it said that put them in a little bit of a bad light, that they were fostering, basically covering up all the deeds of Jerry Sandusky. But that's something else to talk about. So if you want to talk about that or anything else going on in the world of sports, give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. So just call us up, talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Well, let's see what's going on. Trying to see if the Indiana Pacers are sending guard. Oh, let's see. Darren Collison and Dante Jones to the Dallas Mavericks for center Yanni Mahani. Mahanmi, so I haven't heard of him, to the Dallas Mavericks. So that's another piece of info. There are more things going on. With all the NBA trades or movement, it's been a lot of movement in the NBA this year. That's for sure. And I guess we'll hear more. Of course, Dwight Howard hasn't been settled yet if he's going to be staying in Orlando or if he's going to be leaving, headed somewhere else. That still hasn't been settled yet. So we'll keep our eyes open. But it doesn't look good for that it'll happen right away. And so it doesn't look that, like we're going to see at all if they can handle it if it does come to pass. So We'll be looking at that, and I'm also looking at a thing about Michael Jordan and the Dream Team, and said there's no way Kobe Bryant's team could have beaten the Dream Team. But of course, everyone will say that the Dream Team was the best team, the first one or first big team, and so no one thinks. Of course, Jordan doesn't think that they would beat that team or anyone else. But of course, Kobe thinks that they could do it. They think they could do it. So, you know, we have those little issues that go on and happen in sports with us right here on AM 870, and you hear them all year long, different sports breaks. This team is better than that team, and that team is better than that team, or whatever. And you'll hear that, and you can always debate that. That's one of those ever-ending debates. You know, Jordan always going to defend his team, of course, say they've got the best team and had the best team ever. And he says they'll have the records in the record books to prove it. And Kobe says, yes, we won, but if they could somehow beat the games that Jordan's team won, maybe by a bigger margin, even though it's a totally different game in the way it's even played now, they would look at that. But, you know, Jordan's team, that 92 team, is going to be the standard. They're going to be the standard. So you're going to hear that all along. We'll talk a little bit about the Tigers. As you know, you've probably read this morning, Kate Upton is dating Justin Verlander now. She's a supermodel. She's was on the cover of Sports Illustrated. So he's dating her. So that should be good for Justin. Don't know if it's good for the sport or whatever, but it's good for Justin Verlander. He's dating Kate Upton, and you'll hear more about that in the days to come. Some athletes have done well dating models and such, and some haven't. You know, it's one of those things that goes around. It could be good for him, it might not be good for him on his career. So that's something else we'll just have to casually. Won't look at it too heavily, but casually keep our eye on. Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR in East Lansing. If you've never called us before, we'd like you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. But more importantly, though, spread the word around. Tell everyone you know you can enjoy sports each and every day right here on AM 870 WKAR. You know, we'll be starting to talk a lot more about Big Ten football. It's right around the corner. It will be coming up in the very near future. And we'll be looking at the Big Ten teams and breaking them down and look at how they may fare this year. One thing you can almost say at the bottom of the league, Minnesota, Indiana will probably be at the bottom. I know they're trying to get out. They've tried. They've changed coaches. They've done everything. But those two schools have a hard time showing any movement in the Big Ten. Minnesota had it for a little while. They had it for a few years. But to Indiana, they've been in the downtrodden team for a long, long time. And that's a little sad. And sometimes you always like to see some of those teams at least get up and do well for a time. But, boy, when you get it, you better do it, because that's okay. And that's it. So let's go to the phones and let's see. Hello, you're on the air.
I'm on the air?
Yep.
My name's Fred.
Hey, Fred, how you doing?
Good, Earl. Hey, Earl, I would like to say something controversial and just see if anyone picks up on it.
Mm-hmm.
Should an academic institution really pay a basketball coach 13 times more than the president? I mean, the president of the university. And everyone knows Tom Izzo is the most skilled basketball coach around. He's a great guy. Everybody likes him. He does a lot for the community. But 13 times what Luana makes, it just seems, it just doesn't seem like what an educational institution should be doing. And
well,
I'll, Go ahead, okay. and then I'll hang up.
Okay. Well, you know, the reality is that for basketball coaches, football coaches, they bring a lot of money into the university. Now, presidents, and it was a famous coach that said a long time ago, he says, how many people does the university bring in on a Saturday afternoon, you know, for a football game? Like at Ohio State, that one game would produce about $20 million on one Saturday afternoon or more. So when you can bring in money like that, I guess you'd have to say the coaches have to be worth it, because even though, you know, because if you pay them what they bring in by games and what they did it, you know, you probably have to pay them a lot more than what you're paying them. It's a pretty good buy because, you know, all the and you can't pay for all the publicity. I mean, you get so much publicity off of an interview when Time Izzo's on, say, CBS on or on halftime or a network game. You can't pay for that kind of publicity. That's free publicity for the institution.
Well, let me ask this, Earl. How much publicity does a university make? It already gets five or six times as many students applying to enroll as they can accept. And of course, a lot of that money goes to the what we used to call the Ralph Young Fellowship or scholarship, mm-hmm. or you know what I mean?
Yeah, program. Yeah, it goes to the funds.
Not to the university directly, but to run all of the athletic programs. That's true. Two sports serve and finance all the other sports. We know that. Well, I just don't think I entirely buy what you have said. I think that, you know, Cambridge and Oxford get along without money from sports. And I wonder if, well, I don't know what happened to MSU if we suddenly decided that's not what we do anymore. I expect it would be a big blow to a lot of people.
Yes, and of course, if you still want to compete in the Big Ten, you almost would have to withdraw from the Big Ten because you couldn't be at a competitive. You'd be at an extremely competitive disadvantage.
That's right. Well, did the University of Chicago? How many years ago?
Yeah, they decided to get out of the Big Ten altogether. Yeah. That was their choice.
And did it hurt them any? I mean, as a university.
Well, it could have. I mean, you know, as far as growth and everything, you look at how far Michigan State has grown from the 30s to what it is now. So growth, it probably hurt them as far as growth. Yes, it's still a fine academic institution, but, you know, you have to believe that if they had stayed in the Big Ten and were competing and everything, that their growth would have been a lot larger, just like Michigan State has grown so much from being in the Big Ten.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course, they deliberately made themselves an elite institution, always were, I suppose, and didn't have any interest in growing like MSU. Well, anyway, it's an interesting argument. And,
sure.
I want you to know that I've won the argument, so I'll see you.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye. And let's go. We got Apache online, too. Apache, what's up, buddy?
Hey, how you doing, man?
Okay.
You getting close to retirement?
Getting there. I'm getting there.
Are you in a hurry, man? Don't be in a hurry now.
Well, it'll anyway, come when it's going to come. So, you know, it comes for all of us eventually. So,
yeah. Well, it's been good to us, man. I just wanted to know that.
Okay, hey, thank you.
I want to say I'm not going to debate how much the coach should make, but the idea that sports programs bring in more money than the president, I would strongly disagree with that because several years ago I was at the Hannah Community Center. And I think they call it the State of the State address she gave about the university finance and so forth. And one of the things she said to me that stood out, she says, I spent 3/4 of my time raising money for the university. And you combine all those sports programs, and I'm guessing, but I bet you she brings in more money than all those sports programs combined every year. Earl, so I don't agree with their statement that they're bringing more money, therefore blah 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 and all that kind of stuff. I think she brings in most of the money, that's one of their primary functions.
Yes, but she doesn't have to bring any money in for the sports program because they're self-supporting. They bring in all their own money. So that's what's good here at Michigan State. They're not taking money out of the general funds or anything like that. Joanna Simon does a great job. Like you say, she raises a lot of money for the university and helps a lot of things, but she doesn't have to give any of that money or put any of that money in the sports programs because they're self-supported.
Well, I tell you what, if Izzo and the other coaches don't come to work, you know, MSU is going to survive. But if the president doesn't come to work, I think you might have some struggles. But anyway, thank you for this opportunity for me to make that comment.
Okay, thank you. The time is 20 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Let's see, we've got to go on to the phone a little bit more. Hello, you're on the air with us.
Hey, it's Ron.
Hey, Ron.
Earl, I would disagree with the two previous callers in that the money that the sports programs help raise is due to their success, and these coaches are paid on their success. And
that's right.
You know, the previous caller talked about the president raising money. The donations to the university in all areas are, I'm sure, are not as great when the sports programs are not as successful. Thanks for letting me express my opinion.
Okay, thank you. The time, 21 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
The most destructive wildfire in Colorado history is fully contained. Now investigators want to know, was it arson? I'm Neil Conan. As the hunt continues for a serial arsonist in several other Colorado fires, we'll go inside a fire investigation and inside the mind of an arsonist. Plus, a new way out of the same old debate over climate change. Next, Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Thank you for tuning in today. I'm Scott Pohl with the weather. Our high today, 88 degrees and sunny. Partly cloudy and a low of 68 tonight. For Friday, partly sunny and a slight chance of afternoon showers and thunderstorms, the high 89. A good chance of rain and thunderstorms Saturday, the high 82.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Let's go back to the phones, and hello, you're on the air.
And good afternoon. How are you?
Okay, good afternoon.
I lost a very close friend of mine a couple of weeks ago.
Sorry to hear that.
He was a blind athlete also, and his name was Mark, and we played beeper ball together. I'm lucky enough to say I was the most valuable player in the state of Michigan the first time we had a state tournament. And when I won the trophies, Mark was standing next to me, and I handed the trophies to him because he deserved them. And he turned around and handed them right back to me. But he died of cancer, so it was kind of a sad thing. But if you could, I think it would be cool if you could do a show dedicated to athletics and the disabled.
Yes, we'll try. I think we can arrange something like that. I'll try to. I know I have to talk with the different people, but I think we could do something like that.
It would certainly be educational because a lot of people don't even think that people with disabilities are even involved in athletics.
Yeah, that's true.
So it would be educational, if nothing else. Great show. Proud to be a listener of yours.
Okay, thank you. Okay, and we'll talk to you later, my friend. And that's one of our good callers talking with us now. Let's talk a little sports with our good friend, Detroit News columnist, Terry Foster. Terry, how you doing? Hey, doing pretty good, my friend. And
good.
You know, I told you how Minnesota's going to be selling beer starting this year. The first team in the Big Ten, anyway, to be selling beer in their stadium. No alcohol being sold, of course, but it will be beer and wine sales in their stadium, the TCF ballpark, as you know. Do you think that can lead to this maybe starting to spread around the Big Ten, or will this just basically be an isolated incident? Because we know how Minnesota, they really need to raise funds for their programs, so this is one way that they're going to try to raise money.
Yeah, you know, I just think colleges are so afraid to sell beer and wine to the general public. I mean, eventually it's going to happen, but I don't think it's going to open up the floodgates right now. But even when you look at Minnesota, it's kind of sanctioned there. I mean, it's not in all parts of the stadium. It's
right.
Certain areas, and I think, you know, the theory in college football as well, you know, let's give our high-end people booze, because technically it's Cotton Stadium. You can get beer and wine and stuff there, but, you know, it's in the suites, and technically, correct me if I'm wrong, the suites technically are not in Spartan Stadium, even though you can see the football game there. But, I mean, you can get them in suites and other places, but it's just this big fear about the general public and the students and everything. I think that's what where the universities are afraid of. And I guess I'm of the belief that if you pay $500 for a ticket and can get some beer and wine, well, why can't you get one if you pay $50 or $75 for a ticket?
Yeah, that's a very good point, Terry. And the thing is, we know that all the drinking that goes on, there's so much drinking going on before the game. Yes, they might not drink inside the stadium, but as you know, during the tailgate parties, the drinks, hardcore and beer, are flowing very easily.
Right, absolutely. And, I don't think, I tell you what, it's not as bad as in colleges as it is in the NFL. And of course, there you can buy beer during the game, but it seems like people really get trashed at NFL games, and that's before the game even starts. So
yeah.
I'm not sure if it'd be that big of a difference, but I think I would like to see it. People want to drink beer and wine, and they do drink beer and wine, and I'm sure there'll be some problems, but that's just part of the culture. You know, when you go out and you watch a sporting event, you want to have a beer, so why not in college?
Yes, that's true. It's hard to argue with that. That's for sure. I'd be concerned with the people leaving the stadiums and leaving and getting their cars, driving home. I mean, somehow, we don't do a good job now of monitoring people when they leave the games inebriated. And so I'm not sure if that would get better or get worse. But that would be my main concern, is people getting in their cars and leaving the stadiums.
Right. Well, I mean, that's anyway. That's bar. That's restaurant. That's every Friday and Saturday night. You have to have that concern. And I understand that the university doesn't want to be liable for, a tragedy happening. But, I guess I would go back to we're big boys and girls.
Yeah.
You either do it or you don't do it. And we've chosen to sell beer, wine, alcohol at bars and restaurants and professional games and everything. Why not college? Why not under that jurisdiction?
Yeah, and you're making a good point that they probably should at least do that, or do what Minnesota's doing, try to control it. Maybe just sell it in one part of the stadium or something like that, and do what Minnesota is trying to do. Because you can imagine that can be some, especially since the way Minnesota is doing it, there's going to be some long lines in that one place where they're going to be selling beer.
Yeah, and every time you talk to college administrators about things, about why they want to do something and why they don't want to do something, why they're thinking about doing something, it always comes down to money. If Minnesota can make $1 million selling beer and wine, I have to believe Michigan and Michigan State would double and triple that, because they'll have more fans for more games for, a longer part of the season. So, I mean, maybe it's something universities have already looked into, they need to look into to see if they can raise more funds to fund the athletic department.
Yeah, and as we know, reality is they keep trying to come up with new ways to raise money, and that's one of the last ways we know that if they do that, open up that, that's one way they'll definitely make some money if they sell beer or alcohol, or sell beer and wine at stadiums. So if they want to make more money, and they already acknowledge there aren't many ways, as you know, Terry, to make money or to bring in money to the university.
Yeah, absolutely, and you've got the signage, you've got the advertisement, and maybe the next step for maybe a school like Michigan would be to have sell ads within the stadium, mm-hmm. and Michigan State could sell more, but I don't think the schools want these stadiums to look like soccer stadiums where there's just junk all over the place, and it kind of clutters the place up. There's a certain romance to the college game, where, the main focus is the band and everything like that. But, with that said, maybe alcohol is the way to prevent the stadiums from becoming too cluttered, and it is a way for you to raise some money. I'm not opposed to it. I think they should look into it, and I would love to see beer and wine sold at Michigan and Spartan Stadium.
One thing that sometimes I feel hurts college sports, and especially football and basketball, we've been steeped in tradition for so long. So many of us and many people are just holding on to what we call the good old days or the days gone by, and that's I don't know if that's good or not, and especially I think from the beer sales standpoint, you know, people hate advertising in stadiums. A lot of people don't want beer and wine sales in stadiums, but we have this fascination with trying to hold on to the old days.
Yeah, and everything. I mean, you're absolutely right, holding on to the old days, but eventually the old days give away to the new days. I mean, look, college football, we're going to have a playoff system, and that's changed. You know, we had integration in baseball. That's changed. You know, they keep expanding the NCAA tournament, and, you know, a lot of things change. And here's what I will say. Whenever you make a decision, I understand tradition. That's important, everything. What does today's fan want? Mm-hmm. What is today trending toward? And, you know, there's a lot of competition for your dollars, for your time and everything. And, you know, people, they float away. If they don't like what they want, they eventually leave. So, you know, people want a beer. Is that so bad?
No, it doesn't seem to be so bad, and that's the thing. And sometimes I've been thinking, I've been thinking it'll probably going to happen one day. I don't know when it's going to happen. As far as all the stadiums and the big accepted in the Big Ten and the MIAA in every conference, whether it's Division I or Division III, we could see it in all the stadiums eventually, because so many colleges are suffering and need to make money, and that's probably one of the ways that they can make some good money.
Well, I'll tell you what. Now, you mentioned Division III. If I was a Division III school, I would push as hard as I could to have beer and wine sales, because, yes, they do need the money. And if you talk about trust, I think I would trust my fans and alumni to be a little bit more well-behaved, maybe at Hillsdale or Saginaw Valley or Wayne State or Alma, than I would at Michigan State, Wisconsin, or something like that. So, and I know it'd probably be harder to get it through because of old sayings or old beliefs. But as an administrator, I would look at Minnesota and say, you know what? Why didn't I think of this before? Let's see if we can push this through.
Mm-hmm. And we might see a lot of schools pushing it through after. They're probably going to, I expect and imagine, everyone's going to be watching Minnesota and how they do it and how it goes for them in the first year. And we'll probably try to get it through and then make some changes on what they've seen, how Minnesota handles the whole situation.
Well, you know, finally, Minnesota's first in something. How about that in the Big Ten?
Yeah,
that's an amazing thing.
Yeah, it is.
Good for them.
Yeah, they may go from last to first in the only thing that they'll be able to win in.
Right. And, you know, but seriously, I hope people are responsible. You know, one of the problems with society is when you give people something, they screw it up and abuse it. I mean, I was all in favor, for instance, here in the state of Michigan, have them sell fireworks here in the state of Michigan instead of our tax dollars going to Indiana and Ohio. Well, what do people do? Well, they get them, so they're going to set them off at 1 in the morning, 2 in the morning, keep people up. So, you know, you give us something, we always abuse it. So I hopefully Minnesota can also be a leader as far as not abusing this privilege that they're giving people and fans.
Yeah, let's hope so. Hey, Terry, what's your take on Justin Verlander dating Kate Upton? We know that's going to be talk among some circles. How some players, they do well when they date superstars, and some it doesn't work for them. So what's your take on Justin Verlander going out with Kate Upton?
Well, first of all, let me give him a standing ovation, because that's an excellent choice.
Yes.
He definitely upgraded. And first of all, you know, we don't know if they're quote-unquote dating. I mean, it appears to be that way. But, you know, as long as there's not too much media, not too much craziness about him, and there's not a distraction, that's great. And I'm real curious to see how Justin Verlander is going to handle it. Yeah. Is he going to make it a 4 or 5 day story by denying that they were out and all that kind of stuff? Or does he just say, hey, look, we're friends. I was hoping you guys can respect my privacy, but that's as far as I'm willing to go. And I'm willing to accept that. And it's something for us to talk about. And it's exciting here in Detroit because, you know, we don't get many high profile, relationships unless it's Kid Rock and somebody. So I think it's fun. Let him have fun. I'm happy for him. And, whatever is happening there, I hope they're both happy. So that's all I have to say. But now, Earl, you got to Sunday's game is very important because, you know, Verlander blew up in the first inning. So everybody's going to be looking at that game. And if he gives up five or six runs in three or four innings, then, oh, there we go, Cade Upton. Mm-hmm. For the life of me here, I hope he has a big game on Sunday.
Yeah, because you don't want people – because that's what – you're right. That's what people will jump to. That'll be the first – oh, he shouldn't have been dating. If he hadn't been dating her,
yep,
they would have probably won. So, you know, that's something he may have – every time he loses. If we assume and find out that the relationship is ongoing, every time he gets a loss, that's what people are going to look to, that it's who he's dating.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure. It's unfortunate, but that's the way we are. We're always looking for things. Why did that happen? Well, you know what? I didn't expect Verlander to have the same season that he did last year. So if he wins 19 or 21 games this year, people are like, oh, boy, you know, he's got that. He's got sassy. He's got, you know, Cade Upton and all this kind of stuff. You don't duplicate, you know, things. Look at the history of baseball. It's very seldom that a guy will win 24 games and the next season win 24 or 25. Usually he might go down to 18 or 21 or something like that, but now, he was almost perfect last year, and it's very, very difficult to duplicate perfection.
Oh, so true, so true. Now, what about the Tigers? What do you expect from them in the second half? We know that Dombrowski is probably going to trade for a second baseman, maybe look at an outfielder, but they've got some holes they've got to try to fill or cover up or make better. So what do you expect from the Tigers in the second half?
Well, first of all, I'm not convinced it's going to be a major trade. You know, I think the key is he will try. And the name that I keep, you know, running through is Carlos Quentin, and he's an outfielder. You know, they may go after him, even though San Diego seems to want to, you know, re-sign him because he's going to be unrestricted free agent after this year. But I really don't know. I mean, I keep saying they should win this division. But I've been saying this for weeks and weeks and months and everything, and I know they had their five-game winning streak, but here's the key here. Their next, I think it's 14 series, 13 are against teams with winning records, with 500 records or above. So I guess we're going to find out the next 6 weeks that they're really serious about this. If they start, you know, winning a few, losing a few and everything, then you know, it looks like it's not going to happen. But now, this isn't Kansas City. This isn't Minnesota. These are the real guys. They're going to play the Yankees and Tampa and Toronto and the White Sox and Cleveland who are ahead of them. So we're going to find out pretty quickly. Burrow, once again, I have to believe they're going to win this division. I think they're the best team, but, gee, you know what? I'm not screaming on top of a rooftop saying it now. I'm a little hesitant.
Yes, I don't blame you. I know I'm hesitant as well. I think they're a good team. I still think they're going to win it too, but, you know, you say it might, but when you look at the bottom half of that order, the hitters basically from 5 to 9 have not been performing until Sparky sort of Jim Leland just lit a little fire under him just recently, and they're starting to hit better. We don't know if they'll continue, but that's been a big problem for them for most of the year. The hitters at the bottom of the lineup haven't performed as well as the hitters at the top part of the lineup.
Right. And Delman Young finally woke up.
Yes.
Now, he's still swinging at bad pitches, but at least he's sending them out of the ballpark. I don't think that's going to last a long time. But when you got Cabrera and Fielder, who are both having decent seasons, and I talked to Lloyd McClendon, who said that he thinks Fielder's going to get better because he really doesn't know the pitchers. But when you only have to worry about Fielder and Cabrera after the first inning, first batters, then you're in trouble. That means Delman Young really has a big load on his plate. Now, if he can make it a tough first five hitters, and that's going to be a real big key right there. You know, Alex Avila is a guy that's capable of getting hot, and so is Johnny Peralta. So, I mean, if you're going to tell me, and these are not great numbers, if you're going to tell me Peralta, Delman Young, and Alex Avila at 270 the rest of the way, 275, I think they'll win that division running away.
Yeah, you would think so. I think we all think that. And hopefully they will. I mean, yes, if they hit that well, and the pitching, as we see, is getting better slowly but surely. The starting pitching is starting to turn it around outside of Verlander. So it looks like the pitching is going to be pretty good, and the bullpen isn't too bad. You can always use help pitching. I mean, there's never a team, not a team I've ever seen in baseball, that has enough pitching, even if they have three or four good quality starters. You can always use another starter.
In the playoffs, it always comes down to pitching and defense, and that's what they have to That's what they have to do. That's going to be a key right there. Because, you know what? I don't care if they hit. I don't think they're going to beat Texas. I don't think they're going to beat the Yankees this year. Because that pitching and the defense more than anything really worries.
Yeah, the defense worries me as well. That's been a big problem all year long, and it's and, you know, when you reach this point, it's not getting better, and I don't think you can expect it to get better for the rest of the season.
Right.
Hey, Terry, I want to thank you for being with me. You know, it's always a pleasure talking with you, buddy. I know you got to get ready for your show. Hey, thanks a lot for being with me today, though.
Well, no problem. You know, I always need to be with you there, buddy, boy.
Okay. Come on, man. Okay. Hey, we'll talk to you later on, my friend.
All right, I'll take it easy.
Okay, bye-bye. And that's Terry Foster, the columnist, fine columnist from the Detroit News. It's 40 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break right here on AM 870 WKAR.
In court, a jury found Jerry Sandusky guilty on dozens of counts of sexual abuse of children. Now, the results of an internal investigation into how his school handled those accusations. I'm Neil Conan. What went wrong at Penn State? Plus, the rebellion of the doomed extras on a Starship's away team, Red Shirts. Join us next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
We have a sunny forecast with a high of 88 degrees, partly cloudy and a low of 68 tonight. Tomorrow will be partly sunny. There is a slight chance we'll get some rain and thunderstorms. Friday's high 89. Saturday, a good chance of showers and thunderstorms. The high will be in the low 80s. I'm Scott Pohl.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527 or toll free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, we invite you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up, talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. We want you to spread the word around, tell everyone you know you can enjoy sports every afternoon right here coming out of the Mid-Michigan area radio station, WKAR. We're your public radio for sports, so we give you good sports talk each and every day right here on AM 870 WKAR. Well, let's go back to the phones, and we'll be talking with Matt Charbonneau a little bit later on with the Detroit news columnist, feature writer, Matt Charbonneau. We'll have him on this edition. Right now, let's go to the phones. Hello, you're on the air. Hello, you're on the air with us. Oh, that's Matt?
Oh.
Oh, okay, Matt.
Hey, Earl, what's going on?
Hey, not too much. Yeah, just we got a little different problems here with phone problems here. But, hey, good to talk with you. You know, that Minnesota's going to be selling beer now. You know, I don't know. Do you think this could lead to other teams, you know, having selling beer in their stadiums in the around the Big Ten? Right now it's only Minnesota, so I'm quite sure the other schools will be looking at how that's accepted in Minnesota, how they deal with it. I know they're not going to have a lot of outlets there to sell it. You know, a lot of different places in the stadium. So it's going to be controlled to selling it from one particular spot in the stadium. So I don't know. So what do you think about this with Minnesota? This fall, it's going to be selling beer in their venue. I know they need the money. So we know any school can use that. Say yes, we need the sales because we need to generate more income, and that is a way to generate a lot of income.
Yeah, you're right. It's going to be interesting. I think, it's probably not a big shock. I would imagine all the other schools are just going to kind of sit back and see how it goes in Minnesota.
Yeah.
And let them kind of be the guinea pig, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a huge problem with it, to be honest with you. I mean, if it's another way for you to generate some income, I'd say go for it. But, I mean, we'd be all naive to think that people aren't drinking before the games
right.
And after. And, you know, most places, it ain't that hard to slide some in, especially on a cold winter day when you got a big giant jacket on. Not that I'm condoning that, of course, but, you know, I figure if people are going to have it anyway, might as well make a couple bucks off it. I mean, they might have to beef up security a little bit, I guess. But, you know, like we said, we'll see how it goes in Minnesota. I got to imagine if it goes well and there's not a whole lot of issues, I wouldn't be surprised to see other schools start to do it.
Yes, I wouldn't be surprised at that either. I mean, Minnesota, I mean, everyone's going to, as we know, around the Big Ten, the other schools will be looking at it. I'm sort of wondering, too, would Jim Delaney look at it? Would he try to make a rule so other schools, you know, because each school has to have their board of trustees or board of regents to approve it. Would that let all the other schools off the hook, say, if Jim Delaney decided to give it a blanket, you know, acceptance for the Big Ten?
Yeah, he might. I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, it'd be hard to kind of gauge where he's at on that. I have a feeling he would take his cue from probably the other schools. He tends to, mm-hmm. you know, kind of go the way they want him to go. So I don't know if he gave it that kind of blanket, you know, okay. I don't know if that would necessarily change the way schools thought about it too much. I guess, in my opinion, the only way it would make a big deal is if maybe he had a huge problem with it or tried to get schools not to do it, but. Quite frankly, I don't really see that happen. If schools are deciding on their own to do it, I would have a hard time believing he or the Big Ten or any other conference would really try and stand in the way of that, to be honest.
Yes, and as we know, we've seen in the state of Michigan, we've got so many small schools. I could see maybe some of the Division II and III schools even paving the way for it. I mean, Minnesota's good for starting the Big Ten, and they'll give the Big Ten a good look, but this could lead the way for all the smallest colleges to do something for themselves on Saturdays. That could help make a lot of money for the smaller schools, like a Hillsdale or Albion or Alma, some those kind of schools. That's certainly bringing a lot of money in their pockets.
Yeah, you know, that wouldn't surprise me. There's some of the schools I don't think would do it. You know, some of the more religious schools or private schools might not really jump on that. But I think you're right. A lot of those schools are, you know, you're struggling to get people there. So, mm-hmm. I mean, if you can maximize every dollar you're getting out of the people that are there, I mean, I just don't see how it's necessarily the worst thing in the world. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if some people had an issue with it. But honestly, if you know, like I said, it'd be naive to think people aren't, you know, indulging as it is at these games. So, you know, might as well get a few bucks out of it for the school at least, or at least try and, you know, make some sort of gain for them out of it.
Yeah, yes, I think that would be fair for the schools and the people that really want to do it. And we know how people drink. I mean, we've seen it. You can go to any game during the year. You're going to see people inebriated drinking, you know, in college sports. So other than the pros where everything is okay, in college they try to make it seem like it's not okay. But it goes on quite a bit during colleges. We see that at every venue in the Big Ten and at all the major colleges. People are doing it, and I don't know, maybe it's time to get rid of the hypocrisy and just go on and let the schools make some money and selling beer and wine. It will be a good way for them to raise a little extra money.
Yeah, and, you know, the other thing, too, is it's, you know, everyone who's getting a beer at a game doesn't necessarily mean they're, you know, they can't walk around the place. I mean, mm-hmm. sure, we all see that, you know, every weekend at whatever sporting event you're at, it happens. But, I mean, like, think about it. Most of the people don't get like that. So they're going to have a beer or two at the game. Hey, what the heck? Might as well put a couple dollars, you know, into the school or the team or whatever. I mean, I know it's, you know, none of us like going to pay $8 a beer at Comerica Park or anything. But
yeah.
Unfortunately, that's mm-hmm. for going right nowadays. So. Mm-hmm. You know, if people want to enjoy one or two, I honestly don't see the big problem with it.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing it would be a problem if you know, we know what we pay at the stores and like that. But, boy, if you have to pay $7 or $8 a beer at a game, that might make some people maybe a little hesitant to buy one at the game. Maybe that would even make them bring more beers to the game, and they do it in the parking lot.
It might, yeah. Think about it. I mean, you go to any of the pro games now, you better bring a pretty good chunk of money if you want to have more than a couple. I mean, but that's really the case of thing, you know, $5 for a hot dog or something like that. So, I mean, the cost is not that, not really the best part of it. So, I you know, people will probably still try and do whatever they can before the game or whatever. So, you know, a few extra things, a couple beers in the stadium, I don't think it's that big of a deal. If it goes well at Minnesota, I wouldn't be surprised if you see a lot of other schools giving it a shot.
Yes, that's what I would suspect, too. If it goes well in Minnesota and they can control it well and the people at least act halfway decently, they don't have start fights and things like this, I could see, like you, I could see a lot of other schools doing this to raise money or at least using the excuse that they need the money and letting football, you know, sales of beer and wine at football games would be a good excuse.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, Earl. The first time they have this Park Stadium, what is it? I'll go buy you a beer. What do you say?
Okay. Hey, we got a caller for you. Let's. We got Todd on the line. Todd, how you doing?
Good afternoon, Earl. Good afternoon, Matt. As a graduate and a supporter of Michigan State, and I know this is a theoretical, I don't understand this selling of alcohol. I think it's a poor idea on two fronts. If Michigan State can't afford its athletics and literally have to do everything they can do, and I support Michigan State Athletics. I go to games. I have tickets. I take my children, and I think they're an important thing. But if it's become that hard up for money and they just can't support themselves, then let's just do away with them. I mean, literally, I mean, if in my home we can't afford something and it just becomes too much of a burden, we move on. And sometimes I'm disappointed in it. My kids don't like it. It's a bummer. But the reality is if it's that difficult for these universities to fund their sports programs that they've got to sell alcohol, maybe it's time to check it, because this is my next point. Why not just sell advertising on the jerseys? Is that the next step? I mean, are we going to have the General Motors Spartans? Are we going to have the Ford Wolverines? I mean, if it's really gotten that bad, where do you draw the line? I mean, literally, let's just put logos and advertisements right on the players' jerseys. Let's have Tom Izzo come out and coach in a, you know, I don't know, a Kroger jersey. I mean, if it's that bad and it's that hard, let's just move on.
Okay, well, that's another idea. I mean, there is, as always, been talk about, you know, putting advertisers in the stadiums, as you know, Matt. And what about that idea of putting the ads on the jerseys? I think that's been talked about from time to time. Ads on the jerseys and in the stadium, that would be another way to raise funds.
Well, I mean, let's look at it now. There's ads all over the stadium as it is. I mean, we put them on the nets for the field goals when they're warming up. I mean, you've got them all over the place. I mean, is there a bowl game or any big event that doesn't have a corporate sponsor attached to it at this point? I mean, you know, it's the same with the uniforms. Yeah, there's not ads on the uniforms right now, but you better believe you know who made it.
Yeah.
Last year with the Nike whole pro combat thing, that's not just because they want to be nice to the school. Everyone's going to know that that's Nike, you know, and talk about the basketball teams and coaches with shoe contracts, all the apparel contracts. I mean, it's all there. I don't see them ever getting to the point of putting ads on a uniform. You don't see it in the pro sports, which are going after every single dollar. And quite frankly, I mean, it's just my personal thing. I don't have a big deal with it being beer at a stadium. I mean, we're talking about if you can't support your program, why have it? Well, this is just another way to attempt to support your program. So I guess if you have a real moral, I guess, opposition to the idea of alcohol being in the stadium, that I can understand that. But, you know, I don't see this as any different than any other way to try and support your program, as the caller said, whether it be, you know, an ad on the, you know, in the stadium or selling some beer or whatever. But, you know, the other thing, too, is at Michigan State, they're not at that point. I mean, they're not in the position that Minnesota is. So, quite honestly, to start thinking about it here at Spartan Stadium or Breslin, I don't think that's going to be an issue anytime soon, to be honest, unless, you know, everything goes down the drain and people stop going to games. But I don't see that happening. So, you know, as of right now, Michigan State's athletic department funds itself. So, you know, are they going to be that desperate to try and sell beer? I don't think so. Maybe at Minnesota, or obviously at Minnesota, they're in that position. So, I mean, I guess his point of, you know, support your own program, I mean, I think this is just a way they're trying to do it. But, you know, I guess if you have a moral obligation or opposition to that, I can understand your point. But I personally, myself, I don't have a big problem with, if that's how they want to add a few more bucks to the program, I say go ahead. You know, I don't want to put an ad on a jersey either, but, you know, I think maybe that's taking it to a little bit of an extreme at this point.
Okay. Hello, Jerry on the air.
How you doing, Earl?
Okay.
Every once in a while, I feel like maybe the show needs a grown-up. I don't know. I'm sorry. Mr. Chairman, I just disagree with that. with your point of view on this, and it isn't for a particularly moral reason or religious reason, although I'm certainly I'm a Roman Catholic, but I just think it's a public safety issue. And I think the fact that kids are already over-drinking or whoever before the game is no justification for offering that as another temptation or another opportunity for someone to get soused. I mean, if you want some evidence, go down to Ford Field. You've been there. I mean, you can't take a family down there, to be honest with you. You couldn't have Silverdome before it, and God knows how many, kangaroo courts there are on the NFL. Either prosecuting or trying to control, adults, much less kids. I just think it's a wrong-headed idea, and I don't think justifying it on revenue stream grounds, quite frankly, passes the laugh test.
Well, nope. Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead.
I understand, what he's saying, and again, it's not like I have some, big soapbox here. I'm fine with someone who feels that way. I don't, if they don't have to sell beer, I'm fine with them not. I don't, again, I don't think Michigan State's going to have to worry about that. Fortunately, at this point, I mean, we don't know what'll happen down the road. But I guess, to me, I'm just seeing a school like Minnesota that is trying to find every way it can to sustain itself, this being one way. I got to imagine they're going to monitor it closely. If it ends up being Ford Field or any NFL stadium nowadays, I can't see it going on very long. I mean, I don't think any of us want to get to that point. But
yeah, I want to be clear about that, too. I'm certainly going to withhold judgments. I'm assuming it's a pilot program, as you've indicated, and they'll be taking a long, hard look at it.
Yes.
But I guess the sense is that, as I'm hearing it discussed here, it seems just a little bit on the casual side to me, and I don't look at that as in the same light, I guess, as another rationale for a revenue stream. I don't know. Maybe we should work a little harder to try and find alternatives, because I think we know what the downside is of once that line starts moving, it never really stops.
Oh, that's true. If they do start, it could make it its way around the Big Ten. We could have Jim Delaney coming in here, saying that any school can sell, especially if it's successful in Minnesota. You could see maybe the Big Ten talking about it, doing it all throughout the Big Ten. I think that might be a concern later on. Not right now, of course. It's just Minnesota out there by themselves. But if it's successful, then the other schools are going to want to do it.
Well, they might want to do it. I can understand the apprehension, though. I got to imagine, and this is just my guess, I'm not around the Minnesota program to know, I got to guess this probably is pretty far down towards the last resort area. I mean, I can't imagine too many schools are running to try this out. And, quite frankly, if it succeeds at Minnesota, I could see some places being in a tough spot of saying, yeah, we'd like that revenue stream, but they don't necessarily want to go down that road, like the caller said, of having all those sort of issues. So, I can see schools being in a tough spot. Fortunately for some programs like Michigan State right now, it's not a big concern. So, I guess we can only hope and keep our fingers crossed it doesn't get to that point so we don't have to worry about it. Because, I certainly understand the point of not wanting it and seeing where it can go down the wrong path. So, I guess maybe I'm a little more casual toward it. I don't think it's that big of a deal, but I certainly can understand people that think it will be and are certainly concerned about it.
Okay.
Thank
you, Jerry. Hey, we'll talk to you later. Hey, Matt, I want to thank you for being with us. As you see, that topic's generated a lot of conversation today, and we'll probably hear a lot more of it in the coming days. So, hey, good talking with you, Matt, and we'll have you back on real soon again, because as you know, we'll be making our rounds and talking a lot of Big Ten football in the very near future.
Thanks, Earl.
Okay, thanks, Matt. We'll see you later. Bye-bye. That's Matt Charbonneau from the Detroit News. We want to thank you all for listening, and thank you all for calling today. We had a lot of callers today. We want to thank you all and appreciate you for giving us a call. You've been listening to Michigan State University Radio, WKAR East Lansing. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday, 105 to 2 o'clock, right here on WKAR. We'll see you tomorrow. Come back and join us right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.